Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to read from verses 18 through 25. The basic outline that I have here was derived by another man, but I was reading it for my own devotional, and I got so excited about it, I said, you know what, I'm going to share that on Wednesday night. So this is not necessarily original thoughts, but it clearly is a blessing. We're going to talk about discovering Christ's deity in the Christmas story. Now, you may say, well, what does that have to do with me? I'll tell you what, it'll have a lot to do with you if you ever have a Jehovah Witness come and get into your life. They'll start asking you about whether or not Jesus is really God, and they're absolutely convinced he isn't. I stand before you absolutely convinced he is. It's everywhere in Scripture. But they somehow or another are unable to see that in many cases. But tonight, I just wanted to show you that from the very beginning of the Christmas story, it's everywhere. And it's a real encouragement. And here's why it's an encouragement to me. I often call upon Jesus Christ to help me. I often need to turn to him and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own, but you told me I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, and I claim that verse. And it's very real to me. It's real to me when I'm facing heartbreaking situation. It's very real to me when I'm facing tasks that seem like such a mountain, I can never get over this. Well, you know, that only makes sense if I'm appealing to God. And I am. And so are you if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're calling out to him for help. So, we want to look at this. I'm going to just, in these first slides, we're just going to read through the passage. You might want to look at your own Bible or you could read up here with me. But follow along. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, that'd be like engaged. Before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, and behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for with that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all that was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, that's prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Wow. This is a powerful passage. The first evidence of the deity of Jesus Christ is found in this verse. And here is why. It said that while they were betrothed, that means engaged. Okay, so now if you're reading this and you're reading the normal natural reading, even though you're a Christian, you should be asking yourself, well, what's the normal natural way to take this passage? And how would the typical person who would have received the book of Matthew as a letter, how would they have understood it? What questions would they have been asking themselves? Well, it says that after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together. That was unquestionable language that they had no intimacy in their relationship. Lo and behold, this woman that he was betrothed to is with child. Now, first of all, can you just imagine how Joseph would feel in this situation? And as you know what, I can relate to that, I guess. I can picture that in my mind because you see men get into those types of situations now. But it's even more amazing. Imagine how Mary felt about this. Saying, whoa, how does this work? Okay, the reason I bring this up is this truth. There's only two choices when you read that verse. Okay, the first choice is either she, Mary, had relationships with Joseph or some other man. That's one choice. That would, you know, and by the way, that's not such a dumb choice. That's the natural thought. When you're with child, you had relations. I mean, that is the logical conclusion. I'm telling you, if we had someone in here that was with child, we would assume they had relationships with them. It would be the absolute assumption. I mean, none of us would be in here debating it. So we shouldn't say, well, that's a stupid thing, Pastor, to bring up. No, that's a natural reading of the passage. Number two, the other alternative, that Mary had not been with a man, and then she was, in fact, a virgin, just as Scripture said. And so here's the point. You either can take your natural, kind of the way you've grown up, and hey, I'm streetwise, I got this all figured out. Or you can look and say, this is what clearly Scripture is saying. And wow, this may be a little hard to digest, maybe a little hard to figure out, but it is what Scripture says. Because it is. Now, going to a related passage, Luke chapter 1. Just turn over there in the Bible. You might want to just take note of this. Then Mary said to the angel, Luke chapter 1, verse 34 through 35, then said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? What is she doing? She's asking the very question I asked. I mean, what would you think in this situation? Well, she said, listen, I don't get it. That isn't the way my mom taught me. That's literally what this young lady was saying. And that's perfectly logical. And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now again, we read our Bibles enough so that we start seeing some of those phrases like the Son of God, and we just, that's talking about Jesus. But here, this is a Jewish woman who understood the Jewish idioms. Idioms are word pictures, you know, just phrases that had deeper meaning to a group that the idiom has found its original source in. Well, what does that idiom, Son of God, mean to the Jewish at that time? Well, it meant this. The Son of God is the Hebrew idiom meaning possessing the nature of God. You shall call him the Son of God. You shall call him one who is possessed with the nature of God. In essence, God. That's the message. Now, it isn't the strongest argument I would make. It would, you know, for the Jehovah Witnesses, this is not where I start demonstrating the deity of Christ. But my point to us is that the deity of Christ is well substantiated all over the Scripture. And here's another classic example. Now, going back, second point. The angel's words declares that Jesus is deity. It just declares it, flat out. Look at what it says. And Joseph, the husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away secretly. Okay, now, just take note of verse 19. What was his initial and logical and very normal reaction? Man, she hasn't been faithful to me. I can't go forward with this, but I love her. I don't want to make it any worse for her. It's going to be bad enough the way it is. I am just going to do it quietly. That's his conclusion. What was he concluding? He was not concluding that this was any miraculous act. He was concluding at this point in the journey, she had not been faithful to me. And I'm not impressed, but I love her so much that I'm going to do this as painlessly as possible. That's what 19 says. Then it goes on to 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, another identified him with his lineage, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know, if you're looking at the King James or looking at the New King James, you're going to see of the Holy Spirit, because that is the way both of those translations handle it. Some of the other translations will say from the Holy Spirit. A few of the modern ones would say out of the Holy Spirit, or out from the Holy Spirit, out from. And here is the point. This word right here, that word, is a Greek word. You know, of is a preposition in our language, okay? There are prepositions in the Greek language. So I'm going to give you a little Greek lesson right now, for what it's worth. This is like context. Ek is the Greek word. In fact, I think I have it. Hold on a second. I have it. Ek. This word, it's epsilon kappa. Just two little words together. It's a preposition. And it literally means out of the Holy Spirit. Implies it retains source and substance from where it comes. That's really critical, by the way. Because there is another preposition that you could have easily have found in this place, but it didn't use that. It used ek. It could have used apo, which is a very, very logical other alternative you find in similar settings. And as in my initial studies of the word studies, I used to never pay attention to the prepositions, or not much pay. I didn't pay much attention to the I'm glad none of my professors are here, but you know, I wasn't into it. But in this case, you want to pay attention to the difference. So it is ek, not apo. Why is that significant? Yeah, in the case of ek, it is something. If something is in something else and then separates from it, it is expressed with ek, retaining the essence of what it came out of. You understand what it's saying? It is when it came out of, and it uses this word ek, this preposition, in the lineage passages, just before this in Matthew, it's everywhere. It was the child of, it was the child of, it was the child of, that was ek all the time. Because they were, just like my sons and my daughters are part of me. They're part of him, but they're part of me too. You know, they're out of us, and they have, in essence, some of us. It's kind of a beautiful thought. He didn't use apo, which is used of subjects that were on, by, or with another, but now separated from it and not part of it. So apo is found in other places in Matthew to be out of Jerusalem and went to Jordan, went to the Jordan River. What does it say? Well, when he left Jerusalem, he's no longer in Jerusalem. He's over at the Jordan. And the point was, they're separate places. You don't take a little of Jerusalem with you. But when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she was with child, it is a powerful, powerful testimony in the original that this child retained the essence of the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that a beautiful truth? It's a beautiful truth to my heart, at least. The third one. Jesus' mission demands his deity. Notice what it says. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which I wrote in here. This name, Jesus, is Jehovah is salvation. Or God is salvation. Jehovah is an Old Testament word, Yahweh, that is talking about the existence of God, permanent existence, self-existence of God. So Jehovah is salvation, for he will save his people from their sins. This phrase right here is no little statement. In Scripture, it says emphatically, the only way you can have your sins forgiven is God. He's the only one that does that. And it is stating emphatically that this baby who is being born by Mary has a mission to deliver the world from its sins. That's a divine mission. This is the logic statement. How many of you ever had logic classes? I really did hate this, by the way. I don't know about you, but This was not one of my favorite classes in the university, but A equals B and B equals C, that tells you that if this one equals that one and that one equals that one, these two being the same, that A equals C. Okay? You will find that that proved the deity of Christ in this case. In Isaiah 43, 11 through 12, I am the Lord. Okay, so God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no what? Savior. God is saying back in the book of Isaiah, 800 years before this time of this miraculous incarnation of Jesus Christ into the world, that the only Savior is the Lord who is God. And what did it say? He was to save his people from the sins. He's the Savior. His name, Jesus, is Jehovah, is salvation. He is the Savior. And so A is God and B is Jesus. They equal. Okay? Going on, it says, I proclaim, and there is no foreign God among you, therefore you are witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Another one on this is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who is speaking, if God's people who are called by my name, it's God speaking, will humble themselves and pray and seek thy face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven. And what will he do? Oh, he's into the forgiving of sins business. If Jesus forgives sins, if that's his mission, and God forgives sins, he's the Savior, God's the Savior, then Jesus is the God who saves. He's divine. Now, he is born of Mary, so he's also man. And that's this phenomenal, phenomenal truth that he is the God-man. The fourth one. Isaiah predicted Jesus' deity. So all that was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now back in the Isaiah passage, by the way, just for those of us that are a little more into this critical analysis and stuff, the Hebrew word for virgin can be found not in Scripture, but outside of Scripture to imply young woman, not simply a virgin. But I will point to you that, challenge anyone in here to look at the Greek word that is used here. It is exclusively of those that are virgins. Okay? So what arguments some of the scholars tried to make in the Old Testament, they are defeated by the Scripture itself in the New Testament. Okay, so there is no question that this was prophesied 800 years earlier, and it came place. It came happened just the way God said it was going to happen. So that Isaiah predicted Jesus' deity. He's the God-man. What does it say? God with us. It's an exclamation mark that he is deity. This baby is deity. And the Isaiah prophesied 400 years before. And then the last one, notice Joseph. Remember at the start of this portion, these few verses, he said, well, listen, this is really bad. This is really regrettable. I guess the only thing I can do is I'm just going to lovingly put her away silently. I'm going to separate, break our relationship, and she can just have this baby, and I'm going to go on with my life and hope God will help me put my life together some other way. That's what he was saying earlier. But now the angel of the Lord speaks to him. Now, one of the things to remember also, if you do a study of the character of Mary or the character of Joseph and look at every reference in Scripture, as a matter of fact, if you look at almost any reference, even secular, you find nothing harsh said about Joseph or Mary. These individuals were very, very credible people. They were very honorable people. And notice, then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel commanded him, and took to his wife, and did not know her till he had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, Jehovah's salvation. What am I saying? Joseph initially said, whoa, this is an ugly situation. And then the angel spoke to him, and he said, you know what? I hear you, God. I may not be able to put all of this together, but I hear you, and I'm going to go with the plan, and I trust Mary, and I will do my very best to fulfill the role that you have for me. Now, that was a tough road, by the way, both for Mary and for Joseph. They would have been accused of inappropriate relationships. They had that problem. Even Jesus had accusations against them being illegitimate. So it wasn't like it was an easy road. But God made it clear this is what he wanted. Let me say this as an individual who's lived now over a little bit over six decades. Life isn't always easy, is it? But that doesn't make it wrong to do right. I'll tell you, one of the things we better learn right quick is life's not fair and it's not easy. But if you want to experience the joy and the blessings that God intends for you, do right and be joyful. Just go about it. This is not a bad life. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what your circumstances are, the mere fact that you know him has such tremendous eternal implications that you just got to rejoice. So, in this brief few verses, the deity of Christ is declared. One, the virgin birth reveals his deity. The angel's word declare his deity. Jesus' mission demands his deity. Couldn't forgive the world of sins if he wasn't God. Isaiah predicted it 800 years before it came to be that a virgin would bring forth a child. Why? So that he could be the God-man. And Joseph, in faith, embraced Jesus' deity and was faithful to his betrothed bride. Isn't that sweet? I pray that that be an encouragement to us. And here's how it's an encouragement to me. We serve a risen Savior who is God himself, Jesus Christ, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and his challenge to every one of us is to live for him versus living for ourselves. If you live for yourself, Lord help you. I don't know anybody that's living for themselves that ends up having a good life. It has a way of being heartbreaking, no matter how much money they might have or how many other experiences they have. But living for Jesus, no matter how little you have, can be a blessing.